Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with producer-engineer Aaron Zommers. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Friday, May 31st, 2024, 6 now past the hour of 12 noon. And welcome in to this special report, Donald Trump Guilty, our special presentation here on Civic Media as we look into the historic day that was yesterday afternoon as the verdict came down from the jury in New York. 34 counts, 34 guilty verdicts. We're going to break it all down to you, for you, with you today in this special one-hour report and then go into other news of the day in hour two. Joining us, a all-star panel and cast to break it all down. First of all, joining us via phone, from the East Coast, interrupting his vacation, Matt Flynn, attorney and two-time Wisconsin Democratic Party chair. Also on the panel, our ongoing contributor, Trygve Olson, former GOP strategist at the presidential level and senior advisor now at the Lincoln Project. And later on this hour, we'll be joined by Professor Charles Franklin, the lead pollster of the Marquette Law School poll, to break it all down in terms of what Wisconsinites and Americans may be thinking and how this may affect the election moving into November of this year. Matt Flynn, I want to start with you. Thanks for interrupting your vacation, my friend, on the East Coast. We bid you a good day. Matt, you've been a longtime attorney, a two-time chair of the Democratic Party. You've been in all kinds of courtrooms. Before we get into the legalities of what happened yesterday, I want to ask you, as someone who's lived a little bit, who's been around, just from a personal standpoint, when you heard the guilty verdicts, what was your reaction personally?
You know, I'll tell you something, Ted. My initial reaction, and I think Trump is a criminal, as you know. I think he's a walking fraud scene, but it saddened me. It saddened me because I don't think this is the time for exulting. This is a guy, as bad as he was, as a former president of the United States, and it's divisive and also very bad for the United States to have a former president convicted of felonies. But it was the right thing to do. Nobody is above the law. That jury did a great job. But I will say that it was a feeling of sadness and not exulting. And I think we have to go on and unify this country.
I was struck yesterday. I watched a number of news and podcasts and the like, and we'll get to Trygve in just a moment, but his colleague at the Lincoln Project, co-founder Rick Wilson, on their podcast last night on their stream, he said this. He said, "This is not the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning." And I thought that was poignant, Matt Flynn. And from an attorney's perspective, from a legal perspective, yes, this was a landmark decision for a number of reasons. But the final end result of what may or may not happen in terms of sentencing and appeals, this is long from over. Explain to us, Matt, as a longtime attorney, what comes next in terms of legalities for Donald Trump?
Right. Well, first of all, there'll be post-trial motions and sentencing. The sentencing is set for July, 4 days before the Republican convention, and we can talk about what the likelihood is of the judge giving what. But whatever the sentence is and whatever the decisions on the post-verdict motions, Trump will almost certainly appeal it. That appeal will bleed well into the fall. And so, in effect, we are going to have a circumstance where you're going to have a candidate, probably Trump, the Republican candidate, is a convicted felon on appeal, and it is possible legally for this judge to sentence him to some jail in July, but typically for an offense like this, a white-collar crime offense, the jail sentence, if he does get incarceration, will be stayed pending appeal. So Trump will be out in all likelihood, roaming around, but as a convicted felon. And I think what we're talking about here, Todd, is what happens before the November election. And before the November election, There'll be a sentencing. There'll be post-verdict motions. Trump's lawyers will say, hey, throw it out. This is wrong. The judge will deny those motions. He will sentence Trump to whatever he sentences him, and then it's going to be on appeal. And the electorate is going to have a convicted felon who is not yet resolving his appeals.
And that's what something that struck me. And I've heard a couple of different versions. Maybe you can help us sort it out. I mean, he's now, I believe, technically, legally a resident of Florida, but was convicted in the state of New York. I've heard a couple of different variations, Matt Flynn. Is Trump even allowed to vote at this point as a convicted felon?
Well, it depends on the state. In Florida, they had a constitutional amendment, Todd, as you may know, that said that the convicted felons were frequently, before that, were forbidden from voting. And that was a racial thing going back to the 19th century. They would convict black men, and then they wouldn't let them vote. Mm. And there's no reason for convicted felons not to be able to vote. So the people in Florida passed a constitutional amendment over the objection of the Republican Party saying that convicted felons should vote once they finish their sentence. Well, the Florida Supreme Court is as, quite frankly, as manipulated as our Supreme Court had been under the Republicans before Janet Protasiewicz won. And they interpreted that to mean that the convicted felon to vote not only had to finish out his term, but had to pay his fines, even though the amendment didn't say that. Well, these fines are tens of thousands of dollars. These guys can't even find a job. So they effectively barred them, and then there's been more litigation on that. The latest I saw yesterday was that the experts down there seem to think that there's a way for him to vote. But look, let's be blunt. How embarrassing is it? How bad is that? You're the nominee, and there's even a question whether you can vote for yourself. That's pretty sad. That's pretty, pretty poor.
It is pretty sad. We'll get back to the legal part with Matt Flynn in just a minute, but I want to bring our other panelists, ongoing contributor and friend, Trygve Olsen, who joins us from the nation's capital, former Republican like myself, worked for various presidential campaigns, including the late, great John McCain, and now is a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trygve, to Matt's point, you've seen an awful lot in Republican politics over the years. Did you ever think you'd see the day when our former party, would be nominating a convicted felon?
No. I mean, I'm not sure I ever thought I'd see the day where either of the major parties would do that. I think the only time it's happened in the past was the Socialist Workers Party in like 1968, who had been convicted of sedition and ran for president. It's a sad day for American democracy, and it's a sad day, quite frankly, for all of those people who have purported to be conservatives who believed that America was seen as a shining city on a hill around the world. Mm-hmm. And what really is, to me, been the saddest part is watching people, you know, Marco Rubio is a great example. Marco Rubio is on the board of the International Republican Institute. He was appointed by McCain, which goes and advocates for democracy and rule of law, prostituting himself and constricting himself and trying to suggest that trial by a jury of Donald Trump's peers and a conviction is tantamount to Castro's Cuba. That is really sad.
To your point, I want to point out a couple of things. The National College Republican Committee, this is the national group of college Republicans, tweeted this out last night on Twitter X. Quote, today's convictions are the result of a politically motivated prosecution, but a verdict was handed down by jurors whose decision was made in accordance with our criminal justice system. As such, the outcome of this trial should be respected, just like the decision of voters on November 5th. Chris LaCivita, the runner of the Trump World campaign manager, somebody you know that you know, Trygve, replied back. I have to clean it up for radio. Quote, opinions are like a-holes. Everyone has one. Unquote. And perhaps even worse, Larry Hogan, former governor of the great state of Maryland, who is now running for U.S. Senate, is a Republican nominee for U.S. Senate in Maryland, said this, quote, regardless of the result, I urge all Americans to respect the verdict and the legal process. At this dangerously vivid moment in our history, all leaders, regardless of party, must not pour fuel on the fire with more toxic partisanship. We must reaffirm what has made this nation great, the rule of law. Unquote. Trump's campaign manager, Chris LaSavita, responded, quote, "You just ended your campaign," unquote. Trigvi Olson, there is no room for dissent in the Republican Party. The days of it being the quote-unquote big tent party are dead.
No, it's a classic autocratic illiberal vertical. And what you're seeing is all of these people who on some level recognize that the classic sign of something being a vertical, a dictatorial vertical, is that power isn't held through position and rules. It's held by proximity to power. And, you know, I've known Chris a long time. I've known a lot of people who are putting things out on Twitter for a long time that it's really sad. It's just, people should be looking at this as a disappointing day for democracy, regardless of where you are. And there are people on the left that are taking a victory lap, which they shouldn't be. Every American should be troubled and sad by what we've seen.
Matt Flynn.
But that's what happens when you prostitute yourself.
Matt Flynn, about a minute and a half before the first break here. You are a student of history. You're a professor of history, in my opinion. To Trigvi's point, what we're seeing now, not just Trump. I agree with Trigvi. It's not Trump. E. Jean Carroll said this, to paraphrase her. Trump has no power. It's the people around him, to paraphrase E. Jean Carroll. Matt Flynn is a student of history. What does this response from prominent Republicans say to you?
Yeah, well, I'll tell two things. One is, and I agree with Trigvi, and I'm going to go one step farther, and I say this as a Democrat, this country needs a responsible, honest, center-right party. It's not in the interest of the United States to be dominated only by a center-left or a left party. We need competition. And when I think of a center-right party, I think of you, I think of Trigvi, I think of Liz Cheney, I think of Adam Kinzinger, and I think of Mitt Romney and a lot of others. So my question is, what's happening in the Republican Party? Can it correct itself? Can it get rid of this cancer? Because some of these things, Marco Rubio and then the Trump campaign, are contemptuous. They're absolutely contemptuous. They're not representative of the classic Republican Party in the past. And it's imperative that the Republican Party stabilize and get back, because if it doesn't, if it continues to be an authoritarian party, that's going to divide and hurt.
Stay tuned. Hold on that thought, Matt. Back after this. 1 minute. Back in 1 minute on our special report.
I remember there are 34 counts that we will go through. Count 2, guilty. Count 3, guilty. Count 4, guilty. Count 5 and 6, guilty. Count 25, guilty. Count 26, guilty. Count 27, guilty. Count 28, guilty. 29, guilty. Count 30, guilty. Count 31, guilty. Count 32, guilty. Count 33, guilty. Count 34, guilty. Donald Trump has been found guilty on all counts of falsifying business records in an attempt to cover up these alleged relationships in the New York hush money trial.
CBS News evening anchor and managing editor Nora O'Donnell yesterday afternoon with that CBS News special report, historic. I think I'll join by our panel right now, Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from Washington, D.C., and Matt Flynn, attorney and two-time Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, both ongoing contributors, both friends. I think, gentlemen, for me, it was a poignant day. Matt, I want to give you an opportunity to finish your thought. We were interrupted there by the break, which you don't have control over. You were saying that these Republicans that are kind of going along with this verdict and defending, are not going along with the verdict, rather, and defending Trump, are in your opinion, contemptuous. Please finish.
They are contemptuous, and I've said it, and I want to repeat it. This country needs a center-right party. It needs a conservative, honest, non-authoritarian Republican Party. You can't get by with just one-party rule. And what you have here are authoritarians under Donald Trump and people in proximity to him. Frankly, he's a guy who has been bribed by Putin, and he's been bribed by the Saudis. This guy is on the take, and he's corrupted the federal judiciary, the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas, Alito, the rest of these people are corrupt. So is Mercedes Cannon down in Florida. This country has to rid itself of the corruption, and it's not just limited to any one party, but the Republican Party right now is the gravest threat to our unity. It has to seize control of its own party. The people like the Liz Cheneys, Adam Kinzinger, Trigby, you, Mitt Romney, and these kinds of people, John Thune of South Dakota and the others, have got to take the party back, because you can't leave it to these contemptuous authoritarians.
Matt, I want to get your take on were you surprised at all, or maybe surprised is a bad word. Was it unexpected, in your legal opinion, that I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the jury over the course of 2 days spent just over 9 hours in deliberation. There were three outcomes, possible outcomes, either guilty, an acquittal, or a hung jury. Was it unexpected, the amount of time that they deliberated and with the expeditious manner that they offered or rendered a verdict?
Yes, I quite frankly thought it would take them longer for this reason. This is the most consequential criminal trial, in a sense, in the last 200 years in this country. When was the last time we had an incumbent president, a former, I should say, president, being criminally prosecuted? And the answer is never. And so I would have thought that unless they were absolutely convinced and blown away by the evidence, remember, they have to go through all 34 counts. Mm-hmm. And one of those jurors got his news from True Social. So I was convinced that the two lawyers who were on the panel presumably would have to work on this guy, whoever he was, and then convince him on each count. 9 hours is a very small amount of time. The jury trials I've had, they always take 4 or 5 hours. I had one trial where we won with 15 minutes, but the other side had done such a bad job, the jury was laughing at him. But that was rare. 9 hours for a former president to be convicted on 34 counts is incredible. And what it says to me that the jury just was blown away by the evidence. Remember, Trump threatened the judge, threatened the judge's daughter, threatened the prosecutors. And even though you think that these people are taking an oath not to see the news, they don't. Their relatives see the news. Mm-hmm. And their relatives will say, do you know that Trump threatened the judge? Trump was an idiot, quite frankly, to keep up that tactic of threatening law enforcement.
Yeah. Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from Washington, D.C. As you look at these reactions, and now already today you say you see Republicans, I mean, sitting Republicans, for goodness sake, who are saying they're going to try to subpoena the judge and his daughter. I mean, you've worked on authoritarianism around the world in places like Eastern Europe. You're actually banned from Russia by Putin himself. This is eerily similar, it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, to what you've seen around the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic authoritarian playbook. And, you know, the thing about what we're seeing here in so many ways is there's this assumption that those people are playing by the rules of the game that we know: rule of law, democracy, win-win, equal branches of government, you know, the whole schoolhouse rock of things by which we've agreed to adjudicate power and guilt and innocence and all of those things. And the reality is that's not the game that these people are playing. So the idea that they would bring the judge before a congressional panel and all the rest of it. You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. These kinds of actors try and create fear. And if you look at what La Civita was doing with the tweets, what is he trying to do to Larry Hogan or to the College Republicans? He's making threats. He is saying Donald Trump is the leader and you're touting a different line. You're using your right to free speech and you're going to pay a price for that. Classic autocratic actions.
Matt Flynn, we appreciate you taking time on your vacations. I won't hold you past the bottom of the hour. 2 minutes left. It's all yours, whether you want to talk legally or politically. What's Matt Flynn's take on the moment and the future?
I want to stress this is not a time for Democrats or anyone else to rejoice. This is a sad time. This is a criminal conviction on 34 counts, many of them felonies, of somebody who was president of the United States. I do not think he was a good president. I think that he is a walking crime scene. Everybody around him goes to prison or goes bankrupt. That said, to convict him, now there's the question of, does he get jail? How much jail? Does he get a bracelet and home confinement? What happens? We have foreign enemies. We have Iran. We have Russia. We have China. We have North Korea. This is not the time to be divided. A house divided itself against itself cannot stand, as Abraham Lincoln said. It's time to unite. And that means that Republicans have got to say, we're going to restore the center-right party of integrity that we had before. And all Republicans have to pull. And the Democrats, quite frankly, and I've had issues in the past, as I've told you, with our squad and the identity politics cult of the left, and has got to pull together. It's as simple as that. But we're all Americans. The ship that I served on, the Navy, with Democrats and Republicans, Southerners and Northerners. We all stood watch together. We all worked together. We all went on liberty together. We're Americans. That image, that reality has got to be driven home. So all I can say is I'm sad to see it, but it is the right decision. No man is above the law. He will get punished, and we have to proceed from there.
Matt Flynn, you always hit the nail squarely on your head, my friend. Well, well said. And thank you for interrupting your reunion out there out east for joining us on this important day. Safe travels. We'll talk to you when you get home, Matt.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you so very much. Trigvi Olson is going to stay with us, and we'll be joined by Professor Charles Franklin of the Marquette Law School, Paul, on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Donald Trump Guilty special presentation on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show. Donald Trump, guilty. A special presentation here on Civic Media on Friday, May 31st, 2024. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer. We are joined in this special report during our first hour by, again, from the nation's capital, Trigvi Olson, former Republican strategist and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. And we are joined once again by our colleague and ongoing contributor here from joining us from Marquette Law School, Professor Charles Franklin, the lead pollster for the prestigious and ever popular Marquette Law School poll. Gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us once again. Again, Charles, I want to start with you, and again, you're someone who's followed this for you know, since the beginning with Trump, basically. If you, as you look, first of all, I guess just as a person, and I know you're nonpartisan, but just as a person, as an American, when you heard this verdict yesterday, what were your thoughts going through your head?
Well, I think the biggest thing was that it was guilty on all 34 counts. I was certainly prepared to see a split decision, guilty on some, not on others. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was some chance we would get a hung jury with, you know, a dissenter or two on the jury. Mm-hmm. So I think it is telling that 12 jurors were unanimous on each of the 34 counts. That is pretty impressive as a decision by a group of ordinary citizens picked and brought into this courtroom for, what's it been, 6 weeks?
Right. Yeah. After 9 hours over 2 days of deliberations. I want to go into the numbers. And for those that were not watching on the stream who are over the air, we had Trigvi and Charles, who are both, and I say this with all sorts of respect and quite frankly, envy. They are our political number nerds. They are really super good at this, and they've done it at the highest levels. I want to get into the numbers with you, Charles, and Trigvi. I saw yesterday on the CBS News special report, Major Garrett, their Washington chief correspondent, who also has been following Trump since the beginning, he was saying, according to the CBS News poll, and I don't know what the universe was and what the dates were, but I take it to be fairly recently, and I believe this was amongst all voters in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. According to Major Garrett at CBS, he was saying that their polling showed that there was about 10 to 15% of people in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin that said whatever the verdict was could potentially influence their decision in how they would vote in November. Charles, do you see that in your polling?
We don't ask the question quite that way, which is asking people, could you be influenced? That's not a bad way. It's just not the way we do. Mm-hmm. What we did this time in our national poll that we just finished is ask early in the survey, who would you vote for, Biden or Trump or someone else? Mm-hmm. And then late in the survey, we said, if it turns out Trump is found guilty, how would you vote? In that first question, Trump leads by 4%, 44 to 40%, with 14% someone else. But then in the guilty scenario at the end, it's Biden by 4 points, 43 to 39, with 15 going to third party candidates. So we do see a shift. Now, there were other questions asked in between about issues and candidate characteristics, but it does look like the guilty verdict did result in a modest amount of shifting. About a 3-point improvement for Biden and about a 4-point, 5-point decline for Trump.
I think it's interesting, and Trigvi, I know you've done some polling at the Lincoln Project. I guess I'll ask you two questions at once. Have you seen polling within Lincoln Project or focus groups that mirrors what Charles is saying? And then part two, I want both your takes on it. Coming up on Tuesday, there are primaries, I believe, in Montana, Guam, and there's a couple other states as well. That's going to be the first time that we see not polling numbers, but how much is this really going to affect Republican primary voters at the polls? What's your expectation?
So what I would say is, without talking about specifics of stuff that I do for various clients, I think kind of to Charles' point and to some of the points, Karl Rove made this point, there is a subset of the electorate where this has the potential to have an impact. I think with a lot of voters, you know, 85% probably in the existential states of Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, it's kind of baked into the stock price already, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're thinking about investing in Microsoft, you're probably not thinking to yourself, well, they have Windows and they're going to sell a lot of Windows software, right? You're thinking about their stake in OpenAI and you're saying that might make some money down the line that they're not making now. I think it's baked in for them. For that 15%, and they really come, well, there's three segments really that are at play here. There's younger progressives and that part of the Biden base that is sort of holding out. Does this drive them to say, I've got to be with Biden and solidify his base? Because he has some softness there. But the most important is that 15%, we call one of those groups, they tend to be more conservatives. They're right of center voters. They're Evers Johnson voters in Wisconsin. Those voters, they're really undecided because partisan-wise, they would go with Trump on most things. Mm-hmm. But they're really uncomfortable with Trump, and a lot of them voted for Biden last time. They're struggling with whether Biden has been too much, you know, governed too far to the left. Is he too old? Is he up to the job? And I do think with those voters, this definitely has the potential to play into what they choose to do. And really, they can choose to do two things, I think, mostly. They either go back and they vote for Biden, like they did in 20. I don't think they're going to go back to Trump after this. Or they become undervote, but they're really votes that are taken away from Biden because they voted for Biden in 2020.
Charles?
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I largely agree with that, and it fits pretty well with the data that we're seeing. I think I would emphasize the 22% that of Republican primary voters that are voting for somebody other than Trump. That was 22% here in Wisconsin in April. You can tell this both ways. One is that those folks are very reluctant to support Trump, and now this is going to push them further away from him. Despite not voting for him in the primary, most of them still vote for him in the general when Biden's the alternative. Mm-hmm. Does this push that crossover vote up a little bit for them, or maybe push some of them who just can't abide Biden into third party or not voting status? So I think that is a pretty consistent 20% or so of Republicans that we've seen all over the country since Super Tuesday, since Nikki Haley dropped out, that have some real dissatisfaction. The other is the 8 to 12% that tell us in the Wisconsin polls that they're undecided between Trump and Biden. That's not a big group of people, but in races that are within 1 or 2 points, a little bit of shift there could be telling. Last thing is, what's the short-term impact versus the longer-term impact? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we see quick responses to things like this that then dissipate completely. Other times you see it become a liability that builds over time, and I don't think we have an easy way to predict that.
To your point, I want to read something real quick, gentlemen. Oh, go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, that Charles, that's a great point. The question with this, and you're seeing this in the Trump campaign's response to it, you know, Chris Lacevita is running the campaign. We talked about this in the last bit. He's beating up on anybody, Larry Hogan, the college Republicans, who puts out something that doesn't stick with the company line. To that end, you know, whether this is Access Hollywood that kind of blows over, or it's something bigger than that, it's the final nail in the coffin, is hard to know for sure, but I do think this is different than Access Hollywood in that it's really harder for him. With Access Hollywood, I was doing focus groups while that was going on, and we watched the shift over 3 days from I'm never voting for Donald Trump over this to I bet Bill Clinton said even worse things when they were on the golf course together about beer girls. And that resonated, quite frankly. This is harder for them to get their way out of. This is going to have to be blunt instrument to get people on board.
Yeah, I want to read something and see get your take on this. This is from, I believe, Tom Bonnier on Twitter last night. He said it'll be at least 3 to 4 days before well-fielded polls can be released. And the reality is that this news will take some time to percolate. Most people watching this news right now are core partisans and unlikely to be swayed. Independents will digest this differently. Here is an example, he says. In the U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania, the GOP was desperate to change the narrative with Dr. Oz trailing consistently. After one debate, there was Insider Advantage, a poll released a single night poll showing Oz with the lead. The media jumped on it. It was wrong. I think that's a good example. Your take on that. Of course, John Fetterman went on to win that race over Dr. Oz.
I think actually, if anything, he's optimistic about how fast we'll get a reasonable read. Mm-hmm. I know it's frustrating because we all want something today, but I'm going to give it at least a week and a half, and probably I'll give it 2 to 3 weeks before we've got enough independent national polls by different organizations and over a long enough time to see if things that may blip today and tomorrow and the next day, if those remain just blips or if they really do signal a change. It's very frustrating how long you have to wait for good polls. The State of the Union was a perfect example of that. It took us a good 3 weeks before we had enough post State of the Union polling to come to a firm conclusion about what had changed, if anything.
Should we read but anything?
Can I add something to that? Yep. I think that what Charles is saying is 100% true about public polling. What I do think will be a tell is if you're at the RNC or the DNC or either of the campaigns, you have panels set up where you basically have blocks of the voters that are most key to you that you bump back against the voter file and have been communicating with and can they're going to, the bigger tell, and this is why I think what Las Vegas is doing today is a tell. The bigger tell is they are actually able to send text messages to those people and send news clips and dial group them. And so the leading indicator is going to be more qualitative than quantitative. It's going to be the actions of the two campaigns in terms of what are they saying publicly and how are they trying to communicate to those blocks. And right now, what it says to me is the Trump campaign understands this is even a problem with their base, not just the Haley voters and those people. They cannot afford to have a bunch of Republicans breaking ranks on it because they believe that that is an existential threat to them at the moment. Not just, quite frankly, I think, for his electoral consequences in November, but probably for his viability moving to the convention itself.
Very quickly, about a minute and a half left before the break here. Is this coming up on Tuesday? Like I say, there's a handful of states that have primaries, one in Montana. I don't have the list in front of me. But is it too soon for us to look at the results in these primaries on Tuesday and read in anything into the results based on the verdicts from yesterday?
Well, they're a little bit of a unique set of states, so it's hard to know what the baseline is. So how do you know if Trump's vote was 5 points lower than we would have expected, or 5 points higher if there's a rally effect? It's hard to know that. That won't stop us from reading the tea leaves.
Well, yes, I totally agree with that. In Montana, I mean, Montana's probably a bad barometer, right? Mm. Like, but that said, you know, if Donald Trump isn't getting, you know, if Donald Trump only gets 65% in Montana, that says something. But if he gets 75 or higher, it may just be noise. And I think Charles would agree with this. You know, the one thing numbers guys like us are always worried about is what's noise versus what's real, because sometimes it's hard to tell them apart. And that does take time.
All right. Can you guys join us for one more segment on the other side? Do you have time? All right, very good. Come back, one more segment. Stay with us on our special presentation, Donald Trump Guilty, on Civic Media's Radio Network. I'm Todd Allball, back with more from Trigley Olson and Professor Charles Franklin. Your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. Stay with us right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to a Civic Media special report. I was looking at my notes from CBS from last night. You know, yes, we've gone national now. And here at the Civic Media Radio Network, we are joined by Trigley Olson from our nation's capital, former GOP strategist and now senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, and Professor Charles Franklin, lead pollster at the renowned and prestigious Marquette Law School poll, joining us from Milwaukee. Gentlemen, thank you to you both. I want to play a clip from former Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, who, along with Liz Cheney, former Republican Congresswoman from Wyoming, was on the January 6th bipartisan panel, of course, and both were essentially forced out by Trumpism and Trump. Here's what Adam Kinzinger had to say last night regarding the verdict.
Today, justice was done, but here's a very quick, important point. The GOP is about to have a front runner or a nominee who cannot vote for himself, who would be immediately discharged from the military in less than honorable conditions, who cannot own a firearm and can't vote for himself. Today, the jury, which probably had Trump supporters on it, did its American duty, and the Republicans got their marching orders, which is attack the system, attack the jury, attack American citizens, attack the judge. Everything but attack Donald Trump, a convicted felon, for his felonies. That's what's at stake in November.
Adam Kinzinger, former Republican congressman from Illinois. I agree with everything that he said, gentlemen. A couple of my friends and I get together, have a drink every other month or so, and the question always gets thrown out. Does anything matter anymore? I asked both of you, looking at the numbers, and Trigley Moore, your political gut as well, does this matter to to people going to the polls, these 34 guilty verdicts, Charles Franklin first with numbers perspective, does this matter to people?
I think it can, but it was certainly we've had enough experience with Donald Trump over the years that big things sometimes don't matter at all. In our May poll, national May poll, which was while the trial was still going on, 54% said they thought he had done something illegal, 27% wrong, but not illegal, just 19% said he had done nothing wrong. So there you have a majority of registered voters who are already on the illegal side before the end of the trial and before the verdicts came down. So that's one of those numbers I'll be watching to see if that goes up over the next few days. I think we do have to remember, though, that the first impeachment came and went, and opinion barely changed through that impeachment. And then on the other side, Bill Clinton and the Monica Lewinsky scandal, he held Democratic supporters very firmly through that period. And we saw his job approval by the time he was impeached, 58% to 60%. So you can resist negative messages about your favorite candidate surprisingly strongly, because partisanship, baby, it's a hell of a drug.
Well said, Charles. Trigvi Olsen, does yesterday matter?
Well, again, I mean, sort of as Charles and I were talking about in the previous segment, there is a group of voters where I think it may, but, you know, it's a long way till November. And one thing that I would say is, so in some of the research that I've been involved with, we ask a question, what's your biggest reservation about Biden serving another term or Donald Trump? And we basically give a group of options. And when you do that, either in an open-ended or in the way I just outlined, almost universally with Biden, old is the overwhelming. You know, it's 60%. Trump has a lot. He's 77. You know, it's up in the high 30s, maybe low 40s. He also has mentally not up to the job, you know, in the 30s. He has corrupt and crooked in the low 40s. In a strange way, Donald Trump benefits from having multiple reservations, but it's not a single narrative of reservation. Mm-hmm. And he benefits in a way from that in his ability to deflect to other things, where Biden, they can pound away on Joe Biden's too old, he's not up to the job, blah, blah, blah. And Trump is seen less that way. This may be the thing that becomes that narrative about Donald Trump that then I think Donald Trump has real problems, because all those secondary things become issues. Whereas with Biden, it's just old. If it's old versus corrupt, old is going to beat corrupt. But if it's old versus a litany of things, none of which have sort of coalesced as the single narrative point, that ends up in a way working to Donald Trump's advantage, even though there's more reservations in net about Donald Trump.
As a political strategist, Trigvi, for presidential campaigns, your opinion, did Joe Biden, has he made the right decision? The Democrats are playing this very low-key. Joe Biden put out a very, what I would call, respectful, benign statement. Is that the right strategy?
Well, I don't know that you've seen it because you're on the air, but I was checking the Twitter machine, I guess the X machine, while we were talking. And he just walked out of a press conference. And as he was walking out, some reporter asked him about it. And he stopped and turned and grinned. And already the right wing is, the Republicans are going after it. Because he stood for 20 seconds grinning and then walked away. So, Joe Biden has a tendency occasionally when things are going really well to make them not go as well, and that may be it. But that's not unique to Joe Biden.
Right.
There's a lot of politicians like that.
Charles Franklin, you always remind us, about a minute and a half left, that polls don't vote, people do. You've seen this before, I think, in a previous show. 1988, yes, I was my first presidential election. At this time, in 1988, Michael Dukakis was up on George H.W. Bush by 10 points. Still a long ways to go.
Things happen during campaigns. Who knew? And, you know, we've got, I think it's 158 days to go. Lots could still change.
Don't get in a tank and wear a hat. That's the lesson.
Sound advice on that one.
A reference to Michael Dukakis from 1988. Charles, you do great work. We'll be looking forward to your next Marquette Law School poll. Thank you for making time for us on what I know is a very busy time and a very busy day to you. And your Marquette Warriors got further than Wisconsin Badgers this year in the NCAA. So congrats on that.
Thank you. Always good to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Charles. Trevi Olson from our nation's capital, we appreciate you making 2 days for us this week. He joins us every Wednesday from our nation's capital. Trevi, thank you so very much. We'll look forward to a surprise visit perhaps next Tuesday with some special guests. We'll
see you live on Tuesday, Todd. I'm showing up with people that I think we should talk to Wisconsin.
All right. Be here on Tuesday for a very special appearance by Trigvi Olson in person with his very special guest, Trigvi Olson, Charles Franklin, Matt Flynn as well. Thank you all for making this a special report happen to Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. We'll come back with hour two of our regular show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.